Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and from our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our message this morning is our Old Testament reading from Proverbs chapter 25. I'd like to highlight two verses of that text for you as we begin. First of all, verse 2, the first verse in the text, where it says, "It is the glory of God to conceal things, but the glory of kings is to search things out." And then verse 6, "Do not put yourself forward in the king's presence or stand in the place of the great." This is our text. Now, friends, the biblical book of Proverbs falls into the category of what is called wisdom literature because of the hundreds of short statements of advice and truths, the many bits of God's wisdom that make up its contents. And the majority of the book is written by King Solomon, David's son, who you might remember prayed to God soon after he became king in response to Yahweh's invitation, "Ask what I shall give you." So Solomon prayed in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 9, "Give your servant therefore an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to govern this, your great people?" Well, that prayer pleased the Lord, verse 10 says, so that God said to him, "Because you have asked this and have not asked for yourself long life or riches or the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, behold, I now do according to your word. Behold, I give you a wise and discerning mind, so that none like you has been before you, and none like you shall rise after you." So, this text here before us today is a part in God's word. It is the result of God's wisdom imparted to King Solomon, where he records for us, especially today, God's wisdom regarding the concept of authority. Authority. Now, I know for many people that very word is like a swear word. Just the idea of anyone having or exercising authority conjures up thoughts of abuse, corruption, rebellion, slavery, squashing a person's independence or identity, and more. In fact, I remember a time when you couldn't, it was a number of years ago, when you couldn't take a drive around town without seeing at least one car with the bumper sticker that said, "Question authority." Which, at that time, was a call not just to ask for an explanation so that you could understand those in authority, but it was a call to disobedience, a statement of disrespect, and a warning that, hey, you know what? If anyone attempts to express authority toward that person, you better be ready for a fight. Well, Solomon urges us today, though, to understand this concept of authority from a different angle than that. Not from the self-centered and defensive perspective that so many in our world want to have us think of authority, but as God designed and intended authority to be exercised and received by people, regardless of whether they are the one in the role of authority or the one in a position under authority. Now, many times Christians kind of poo-poo the book of Proverbs because they say that it is nothing but all law. Just a huge list of commands and rules and regulations from God that, frankly, no one is able to live up to. But you know, to say and think like that is to ignore the situation and the people to whom King Solomon was writing, to ignore Solomon's own role at that time as well. You see, Solomon was crowned as the earthly king over the united kingdom of Israel, the chosen people of God. It's only been a little over 400 years since they arrived in the promised land, and they are still, at this point, basking in the glow of King David's 40-year reign, whom Paul quotes God as saying, "I have found a man after my heart who will do all my will." That means that Solomon is writing here to an audience of believers, not unbelievers, to people that he can safely assume already know God well in both a law and gospel relationship. These are forgiven and justified followers of Yahweh who have a living relationship with him in full faith. Those who trust entirely in God's promise that they will be saved eternally through the work of the Messiah who is to come. That means that the people Solomon was writing to, folks, were no different than you and me, except for the direction of our faith. While they believed in the Savior to come, we believe just as fervently in the same Savior, Jesus, who has come, who has died and rose for our forgiveness, who has given us new life in baptism, and who continues to teach us his truths, revealed through Solomon all those years ago. So yes, this text today is primarily God's law, but it applies to us as God's people who know that we fall short in living up to his expectations every day. And yet we live each day in the gospel grace of Jesus, who empowers us to seek his will in all that we think and say and do right now. And when it comes to authority, there are different angles, different perspectives that come into play. Now, we've already heard about the world's sin-soaked perspective that takes God's gift and perverts it into something that is terrible no matter what, no matter which way you look at it. But we are not here to rehash all of those angles today. I mean, you can just watch the news or listen to your friends and neighbors to get those incorrect and unfaithful views of authority. No, we are here to listen to and learn from God in his perfect and authoritative word. And we see in verse 2 that Solomon draws a comparison and contrast between God and those authorities he has put in place here on earth. He uses kings and those in their courts and kingdoms as the example to learn from. That includes the example in verse 8 when he talks about bringing someone to court. Because remember, at that time, the king was also the judge. Verse 2 begins, "It is the glory of God to conceal things." Now, all I'm going to say at this point is the application of that truth. God gets all the glory at all times precisely because he knows all things. And we, well, we don't. So, until we get to the point that we also are omniscient, knowing all things, then friends, we don't deserve the same glory as God. We'll look at that angle more in a bit. But the second half of verse 2 says, "The glory of kings is to search things out." This is the primary role that God has given to all those in places of authority here on earth. For a king to investigate matters in his kingdom, so that he can then discern accurately what actions need to be taken for the kingdom to run safely and smoothly and for the benefit of all in his kingdom. That's his role. This is looking at authority from the angle of the king, from the one in authority. And it includes, as verse 3 says, the fact that the heart of kings is unsearchable. Now, we are not to take that at the same level as knowing all things like God, but in comparison to those who are not in a role of authority here on earth. To coin a phrase from President Harry Truman, when it comes to who's in charge of making all of the hard and unpopular decisions, he said, "The buck stops here with the one who is in authority." Whether that's a king, a president, an employer, a parent, a teacher, a member of law enforcement, a judge, a pastor, etc. And that means that it is his or her responsibility to investigate and know all the facts and figures, all the different views of the parties involved, and every side of the opinions and policies that have a bearing on the situation. In other words, knowing more than anyone else in that place can know about the matter before handing down or making a decision and putting in place what that decision implies. This requires that person to honor the role that God has given to them, to honor and care about the people God has placed under their charge, and the great importance that they play in their administration. As verse 5 is getting at when it says, "Take away the wicked from the presence of the king, and his throne will be established in righteousness." You see, a leader, any leader, is only as good and capable as the quality and purity of those whom he is leading. And a good leader cherishes, trusts, and provides for and protects those under him who do their part faithfully. That leads us now to look at authority from the angle of the one who is under someone else's authority. God's fourth commandment is the foundation of our thinking here. When it says, "Honor your father and your mother," it's speaking to every one of us, not only as earthly children, because there's not one of us here who hasn't ever had a parent, but to all of us in any and all relationships where we are subject to someone else in authority. The primary point, as Solomon puts it in front of us, is that we live with an attitude of honor and respect for those who are in authority over us, understanding that they are in their position as God's gift to us, not in a snooty way, but as God's actual gift that we need given to us for our well-being. Verse 6, "Do not put yourself forward in the king's presence or stand in the place of the great." It's not your role. It's not your place to know all of the details that they know. So don't expect them to tell you everything. Our role in that relationship is to trust that they know the big picture and to serve to the best of our ability in whatever part we have been given toward the bigger goal. Luther, he guides us in the meaning to the fourth commandment that, quote, "We do not despise or anger our parents and other authorities, but honor them, serve and obey them, love and cherish them." How many of you wake up each morning and say, "I cherish those in authority over me"? It's scriptural. And that means even when you don't always agree with them, as long of course, as it is not against God's word. Additionally, as verse 7 alludes to, and Jesus says in our gospel reading today, having that humble attitude, we then acknowledge that we are not serving for our own recognition, but for God. Knowing that in the end, if not before that time, we will be lifted up to sit in His presence at the feast that He has prepared for us in eternity. And that's the perfect lead into the two final angles of us honoring God's gift of authority. As we said before, these things that we just finished talking about regarding our view of authority on earth as Christians, they are significantly backward. They're even viewed as foolishness to this world in which we live today, aren't they? But that's because the world refuses to acknowledge the foundation of all authority as we embrace it in God's first commandment. You shall have no other gods. As Yahweh says in Isaiah 45, 21 and 22, who declared it of old? Was it not I, Yahweh? And there is no other God besides me, a righteous God and a Savior. There is none besides me. Turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. 8 more times God declares that truth in Scripture. But how? How are we to be saved, as He calls us to be there, if He conceals things, according to verse 2 in our text today? Well, that is exactly the kind of thinking in this world where we trip ourselves up thinking that it's our place to know all that God knows, that we are God instead of Him. The Latin phrase for this theological concept is Deus absconditus, which means God who hides Himself. Isaiah 45, verse 15 lays this truth before us. Quote, truly, you are a God who hides Himself, O God of Israel, the Savior, unquote. And you see, right there, it shows that just because we can't see God in His fullest glory right now, it does not mean He isn't our Savior. It's just that to us, that is, the people of God who believe and trust in Him as Savior, God, in His mercy, conceals His full wrath against our sin. Because He has already unleashed it upon someone else. Paul explains it further in 1 Corinthians 1, 22 to 25. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom. That's the unbelievers who want to know as much as God. But we, Paul continues, we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to the Gentiles. But to those who are called in faith, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God, that is, the cross in the world's perspective, is wiser than men, and the weakness of God, that is, Jesus on the cross, is stronger than men. This, my friends, is God's authoritative love for you and for me. In Jesus, God gave Himself up for us, as Paul says in Ephesians 5, 25 to 27, that He might sanctify us, having cleansed us by the washing of water with the Word, so that He might present the church to Himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she, that is, us in His church, might be holy and without blemish. So, what is our angle on this sacrificial authority now today as God's cleansed and redeemed people? Well, We honor and we worship Him alone. We adore and we submit willingly in full joy to His authority over us. Yes, we fully embrace all 10 of His commandments, not only as they reveal our sin to us so that we can confess it in full repentance, but also we respect and we submit to them with His help, of course, because we see them as God's loving direction, as His guide to us in living our lives for Him in everything that we think and say and do as His beloved children. So yes, from this and every angle, as believers, we honor God's gift of authority now, because we know it is how He reveals to us the true depth of His love and care for us. To Him be all the glory. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, will guard your hearts and minds and keep you in our Lord Jesus today and forever. Amen.